they've initiated the masses, you know, to choose a side, to choose the quote-unquote light side. And in doing so, that initiation, you know, the grand mysteries will be revealed to all through what they have labeled and what they call the plan. They call it the plan. And so with QAnon, what do you have as well, too? The plan.
What's up, everybody? It's Isaac. You're listening to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture, an intro to the intro, which can only mean one thing. It can mean a couple things. But today it means we've got a special guest. And I'm telling you, your head will be spinning by the time this is over, because we got done recording and I just sat there with my jaw dropped trying to process all the information that our guest is going to have. This is going to be one of the most controversial shows that we've ever done, because we're going to take a critical look at a lot of the major heroes and key players in conspiracy, in politics, in religion. And of course, that includes this new movie absolutely everybody's talking about called Sound of Freedom, which is all about Tim Ballard and the Operation Underground Railroad. And our guest has done a lot of research on this, and we're going to hear from him. And, you know, first we're going to go through his spiritual journey as a truther. He was a New Age white nationalist Gnostic into the Trump QAnon whole movement, and now he's a born-again Christian. And he explains why. And it's something we can all wrap our heads around. There's a very logical explanations for all this stuff. And we're going to learn about this controversy and the ideas behind the pushback of this Sound of Freedom, Operation Underground Railroad. Because a lot of us on the surface say, my goodness, how can you possibly talk bad about an organization that's saving kids from human trafficking? How could you do it? And I'll admit, it's a very tough subject. And I'm still torn. I'm still torn about this whole thing. And that's coming from me, who I've sent money, hundreds of dollars, to Operation Underground Railroad. I've done CrossFit fundraisers for Operation Underground Railroad. There's a lot of things that really get poked with this show. And we're going to cover a lot of conspiracy topics about what's really going on here is a Gnostic system of duality of this supposed light versus dark. And you could argue that goes into Twin Peaks territory, which has theosophical leanings. And this is kind of a good explanation for why this happens, because it does present this false choice of you're either with us or against us, of either good or evil. And it could very well, very possibly be a trap for the Luciferian New World Order, for the end times. So let's make sure we're not doing the wrong thing here, folks. And he's going to share with us information about human trafficking, child abuse, the Finders, Alice Bailey, the United Nations, of course, the LDS Mormons are getting picked on. Why not? Why not? And I plan on doing a more in-depth show on all this stuff. Gauging your reaction, it very well might only be a supporters-only episode, because you're going to hear about it. I dropped an image on my Instagram of the main actor from Sound of Freedom being one of Harley Pasternak's clients, and it lit up in the comment section. People absolutely outraged, and I didn't even put a caption on it. I didn't say anything. I just dropped it on there. I mean, this really is controversial stuff here, not to be taken lightly. But John's going to expose all this stuff. He's going to talk about the Council for National Policy, the CNP, and why that is the organization we don't hear about. We hear about the CFR. We hear about the Bilderbergs. Well, what about the CNP? Why are we not being told about that? Why is that not a conspiracy topic? And we're going to break down this thing he calls the externalization of the hierarchy. It's insane. And by the end, he's going to debunk adrenochrome. Oh, my goodness. he's pushing very good points that make me question a lot of things. And of course, as always, I'm going to leave it up to you as to what you want to decide, what you want to support, how you want to support. Because look, I get it. It's tough. We're basically saying, hey, this operation that's trying to save kids, maybe it's not what it's cracked up to be. And people get really, really disgusted by that idea. But you got to be careful. And just like John will cite in Jeremiah, cursed is the man who puts his hope in man. You got to be careful about things. But I'll let him explain. Without further ado, here we go. All right, everybody. Today, we've got a very special guest to talk about one of the hottest topics out there. This might be the most controversial show I've ever done. It's very possible, which is crazy because all we're doing is questioning the narrative, asking some questions about who's behind what messaging, and trying to, you know, make sure we're not getting duped, make sure things are all in order. This is what every conspiracy theory 101 should be doing, right? And today's guest is John Brisson. And I got to tell you, John, I'm gonna give a little background on how I found John. So I was on Twitter one day. I don't even know what came across my feed, but your Twitter, it's the handle is We've Read the Documents. It came across my feed somehow. I don't remember. And I thought, wow, this is kind of refreshing. This guy seems very well informed. I'll follow, whatever. And that was relatively recently, just a few months ago. And since then, I've been very intrigued by your messaging, by what you're saying. And then this movie, Sound of Freedom, came out. I don't have the link with me. I watched a video you had posted on Odyssey. It was a couple hours long, and it was really good. It was really well put together, and it really makes you question what's going on with the movie. And then I reached out to you. I said, hey, man, like, I'd love to have you on here, and we can talk about some of these ideas. Then I listened to Tinfoil Hat 686. Where you were on there, ironically, I didn't notice that you were on there because I don't listen to every episode. And man, you were dropping the hardest red pilling I think I've ever heard in my life. I'm rarely speechless when I listen to other theorists, but I was impressed because you were recalling names and relationships and just like going hard. So I thought, okay, this is going to be epic. So without further ado, I know that was a very wordy intro, but I'm very excited because I want to meet John. I want the audience to meet John, and we're gonna talk about some controversial content today. And there's gonna be a lot of people with hurt feelings, and I don't want to speak for you, but I'm sure that you're in the same camp of look, we're not trying to hurt feelings. We just want to make sure the right things are happening with the right people, and that's what you're supposed to do with discernment. So, without further ado, welcome to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture, John Brisson.
Isaac, it's a pleasure as someone who owns many of your books and has listened to your podcast. We also share mutual friends too as well. Billy Ray Valentine, for example, shout out to Billy. It is an honor to be on here with you. And I've been investigating for many, many years what's been going on with the world order. And like you mentioned, me being on Tinfoil Hat, I've discussed things, whether it's my research into the Council for National Policy or the Finders Operation or the controlled Great Reset to the Phony Great Awakening. There have been people previously beforehand who have discussed these things, whether it's Josh Reeves or Derek in the Midwest for the CMP or Dr. Scott Johnson or E511 Ministries or Mike from On Point Preparedness for the Great Reset to the Great Awakening. And the Finders, Derek Bros has done some great research on the Finders cult and operation, which I think I've gone beyond what Derek has presented. And I'm writing a book. I've got about 100 or so odd pages on my Substack published about it and interviewed various people and everything. Yeah, Isaac, go ahead.
The Finders, is that the documentary on Netflix about?
No.
Is that something different? Oh, okay.
That's something different.
Okay.
It depends on what you're talking about, because there is like a new age esoteric guy that puts forth a kind of like this book called The Finders, which is about kind of like attention magic and the quote unquote law of attraction. But then there's actually kind of like this movie that is a conspiracy movie. Maybe that's what you're discussing. That kind of there's like this mom who there's like she's fighting against child trafficking. It's loosely based on various conspiracy theories, but I don't think it was on Netflix. I think it was on like the Fighters Operation. You've ever heard of the Tallahassee incident, the early well, actually the late 1980s, 1987, where they found six disheveled kids, and later led to U.S. Customs Department raids on the D.C. warehouse and the D.C. apartments. And the leader of the cult was Marion Petty. I don't know if you ever read the kind of like Ramon J. Martinez, who was a customs agent, was officer at the time, who was there at the raids, his infamous report about the what he had found at the warehouse raids and the apartment raids, and what he had discussed of like the trafficking of children.
And I looked it up. It's The Keepers is what I'm thinking of, and it's a Netflix documentary about I haven't actually seen it, about church, some kind of church or priest involved with more of the child abuse stuff. But it sounds like are we talking about institutions being somehow involved in trafficking of children? Is that kind of,
well, with the finders, it was institutionalized trafficking because the United States Central Intelligence Agency and the State Department were involved with the finders. Okay. And were trafficking allegedly children to like China, for example. There would be a transfer, and they were actually it came out later in one of the FBI reports of one of the one of the DC Metro Police Department reports on the finders following up afterwards in 1991, where they had arrested one of the unknown finders member in a van late at night, and they're coming out of the warehouse, and the officer noticed that he would see children playing around the warehouse even late at night, and really fancy diplomat cars with like diplomat license plates going in and out of the warehouse at night and everything. And they're talking about how the finders guy, when he was arrested, he was said that they were babysitting diplomats' kids and children, which the officer said, well, if you're doing that, you should just, the warehouse district is very seedy. You shouldn't have children out late at night, around this warehouse, you know, if that's what you're doing and everything. And in the report, the officer goes, yeah, I think that's where they raided the warehouse for all this child pornography and child trafficking. And it wasn't exact in the same warehouse.
The rabbit hole. I haven't gone down.
Oh, very much so. When we talk about Operation Underground Railroad later, I want to make known first, I guess, before we talk about anything. Mm-hmm. Is I've been investigating institutionalized child pedophilia and you know, the leads, whether it's the Franklin scandal or the Finders operation or Jeffrey Epstein, for a very long time. I mean, whether it's the West Point abuse scandal, there's numerous scandals. McMartin Preschool, there's an excellent book right here by Rossi Chet, if you don't even want to get into the conspiracy aspect of McMartin Preschool. And he's a Brown professor. He wrote, from court documents and built, it's non-conspiratorial that Raymond Buckey likely molested kids at McMartin Preschool, the bare minimum. Now you can go to the claims, that have gone out there, Isaac, at the grand maximum of those claims, right, about, elite pedophilia being involved in McMartin, right? But even if it is or isn't, there was, pedophilia occurring at McMartin Preschool. And so, I've done a lot of research of trying to suss out the witch hunt narrative of whether there are allegations of satanic ritual abuse and institutionalized pedophilia are accurate. I do believe that they are, but I do believe that there are weaponized narratives as well. Me and Billy Ray Valentine did a show disproving Wayfair at the time that I thought that it was being jacked by kind of like the right wing world order and QAnon operation groups, of whether or not it was part of the QAnon operation to push the Wayfair trafficking scandal. And so they have weaponized certain parts, right? Have pushed false narratives, I believe.
Yeah, that's where it gets dicey, and that's where I find a lot of interest in this. And before we start diving into all that, it's ironic that you're friends with Billy Ray Valentine, because I actually didn't know that until I was listening to, I think it was the Tinfoil Hat, you made mention of Billy Ray. I was like, oh, my man Billy Ray's friends with him. Okay, he's good. Because I had sort of booked you And I had some concerns because I was like, you know, usually I dig deeper into people's personalities to make sure I'm not like, for instance, there was one guy I wanted to get on because he had a really interesting information, but he wanted to sort of take it to an angle that I wasn't comfortable with. And I was like, look, man, like, let's talk about the information and let's maybe not talk about this. Hated it. And he blew me up on social media. I was like, oh my God. Okay. But anyway, you also mentioned Michael Joseph on there. Do you know who Michael Joseph is? Are you friends with him?
I interviewed him a long time ago. We're not friends. Okay. Me and Billy have been friends for many, many years.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I do know Michael Joseph. It saddens me that Michael Joseph seemed to have started blending in QAnon narratives and beliefs. And
is he still making content? Because I had him on my show years ago because he had fascinating information.
He was, yes. I guess he still is, yes. But the culture war aspects pulled him into kind of right-wing conspiracies. And I myself, I mean, I'm conservative-leaning, obviously, in my political beliefs to a certain degree. I mean, more social conservative, being a conservative Christian. But, you know, it saddened me that he kind of, and I mean, he kind of took like Trump and Archbishop Vigano or, you know, the good guys, and they're fighting against the wicked satanic, you know, Democrats and everything. And it was kind of that kind of just made me shake my head and take a step back. And I mean, we have theological disagreements, me and Michael, because, you know, he's very strong and staunch Catholic, but I do have to credit for him and his videos that he did, apologia, even though it was sadly from a Catholic perspective, against the New Age, against whether it was Bailey or Blavatsky or Wilhelm Reich or was Albert Pike. When I was a Gnostic at the time, you know, I listened to those videos and I could not refute the information that he was putting out. And it was one of the things that I do believe that God used, by his grace for me to become born again, because I was a Gnostic for many years.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that. This is a good segue because if I heard you correctly on Tinfoil Hat, I think it was Tinfoil Hat, you mentioned something about, because I wanted you to share the audience your journey with me too, because I'm curious, where you mentioned you were a Gnostic. I think you said you were on Higher Side Chats many years ago talking about Gnosticism. And
yes.
I think I heard you say white nationalist at some point.
That's correct. Right? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Would you mind sharing your journey? Because I actually don't know your background and I'm fascinated that you took this path.
Oh, not at all. So I was raised in a Christian household. My father was born again. My mother died when I was very young, and my father would later die when I was 18. And I thought I loved the Lord very much. I went to a Presbyterian church growing up, but I realized I was not born again at the time. I didn't really, even though my father would preach the gospel to me and we read the Bible together and we talk about it a lot, I don't think I fully grasped the gospel. I don't think I fully grasped it at the time. So I fell away. And then later on, and I was raised a very staunch neoconservative. My grandfather was a neoconservative. My dad was kind of, he was socially conservative, but left-leaning pretty much in his politics for everything else. And so I was a very proud neocon, ardent Zionist when I was growing up, and so eventually one night, 2008, like many of us, I listened to Alex Jones on Coast to Coast AM. He had been, platformed by George Norrie, about how 9/11 was an inside job. And so I started looking into it and I couldn't disprove it. I couldn't disprove a lot of the things that Alex Jones was saying. And so from there, you know, most people, they go down, quote unquote, go down the rabbit hole, which is a Gnostic terminology in of itself, kind of borrowing from Alice Bailey. The QAnon operation used that a lot too, is, you know, go down the rabbit hole. I eventually, there's a lot of New Age infiltration, Isaac, into conspiracy theory. And it's always been that way. It's always either been, kind of stored to the counterculture, hippie movement, which I myself am a Christian natural health practitioner. But you know, there is a lot of New Age traps when it comes to natural health. And there's a lot of New Age traps when it comes to conspiracy theory, right? So I watched Zach Geist. I started falling into kind of universalism and Christian Gnosticism. And that's what I believed and practiced. You know, for many years, I thought I was a light worker. I was practicing intention magic. I was trying to have out of body experiences, even though I remember the only time I actually tried to and was able to get out of my body, I had a strong force to push me back in my body and said no. I don't know if that was God or what. I have no idea, but I think it was. But I was never able to truly achieve an out-of-body experience. You know, I eventually that led to, you know, the weaponization of Cambridge Analytica and the Council for National Policy and the 2016 election for Donald Trump. Right. So a lot of the, a lot of people were getting funneled, not everybody, who was a Gnostic or an occultist, into white nationalism. There was a strong push on 4chan and 8chan and all those boards. And we even see it today with like Nazi groups, like the Order of the Nine Angles, which William Ramsey has done a lot of research on. So they try to funnel, once you're into the esoteric, once you're into the occult, no, Clannad, it's more of, you know, ritual magic, ritual satanic magic that pushes a person into that. But I became radicalized. I became radicalized because of Cambridge Analytica and the talking points during the Donald Trump campaign, into being a white nationalist. And I feel completely silly about it now, as a born again Christian. And I actually voted for Donald Trump too, which was, I don't know what I was thinking. You know, and so eventually, a friend of mine, said on 8chan, he showed me a thread that they were discussing this movie called The Secret Right Volume 1. And it was a movie done by Josh Reeves, and it was about the Council for National Policy. So I watched it, and I was like, man, I would have already, Alex Jones would have already told me all of all this stuff. Isaac, I would have already known about all this secret hidden right group. You know, everybody knows about the Council on Foreign Relations. Everybody knows about the Bilderberg Group. I would have known about this, okay? And so I kind of blew it off. But then I started, when Trump was, you know, when he actually became president, he started putting into his cabinet swamp dwellers. And a lot of these swamp dwellers were Council for National Policy members. I mean, majority of them. You know, I mean, Mike Pence is a CNP member. Trump himself has spoke to the CNP while he was president in 2020. I mean, I could go through the list. I mean, it's a long, exhaustive list. I could pull it up of CNP members that were in the Trump administration.
Now, when you talk about the CNP, because this is one of the topics I wanted to get into with you, because I had heard you say in the past, you had compared the CNP. So let me see if I've got this correct. In typical conspiracy spheres like Alex Jones and whatnot, we talk often about the boogeyman being the Bilderbergs or the Council on Foreign Relations. And then when you start peeling that back, a lot of conspiracy people take it to, yes, and these guys are all these left-leaning socialist, Marxist, communist, global world government type folks, right? And if I heard you correctly, the CNP, which is a group, Council of National Policy?
Council for National Policy.
Okay. Council for National Policy. That's more of it's a similar group, but it's more right-leaning. And one of the criticisms I've heard from you was that the CFR and the Bilderberg, you know, these Illuminati boogeymen, you can actually see who's on their roster of who's in the group, where they're meeting. Whereas the CNP, it's more of a secret society where you don't really know who's in there. And that, you know, that actually is kind of a bigger red flag than Bilderberg and CFR. Am I hitting that kind of right?
Yeah. The CNP don't publish your membership list. So whatever information we have is from researchers and links and people that have followed them to meetings, which has been far few information compared to, we even have the Bilderberg group, because the Bilderberg group is relatively well known now. It wasn't 2 decades ago. Sure, I understand that. But now it's well known, and people, you know, there's a lot of media groups and people that go to Bilderberg group meetings and see who comes in and out of them, right? But we don't have that for the CNP. We never really have. You know what I mean? Some of the main coverage that we had was through Sidney Blumenthal in the 80s and the 90s and Max Blumenthal in the 2000s, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. I mean, so, you know, a lot of the research that we've gotten from the CNP, even of themselves, like out of the Blumenthal family, has been probably controlled to some degree. You know, the CNP doesn't publish their membership list. They don't make it public where their meetings are, okay? And the CFR, you can go see who's a member of a CFR. You can do that right now. You know, and so it was that, like, and the reason, I guess, is eventually when I started noticing that Trump was filling up the cabinet with CNP members, Isaac, Oh, I said, okay, well, Josh, did he do another documentary? He did a part two. Now, if I'd have watched the part two documentary, I never would have voted for Trump. Because part two, we find out that Alex Jones is a member of the Council for National Policy.
Let's pump the brakes. You said the researcher's name is Josh Steves?
Josh Reeves. R-E-E-V-E-S.
Oh. And the documentaries are called what again? Sorry.
The Secret Right Volume 1 and The Secret Right Volume 2. They're actually quite old. 2009, 2011-ish.
Oh, wow. Interesting. And he believes that Alex Jones is a member of the CMP along with... And let me rattle off a list for people this is what I heard you say. Mm-hmm. Some people that are believed or proven or something in between, maybe, that are part of CMP, the Coors family, Ronald Reagan.
Proven.
The guy who wrote the Left Behind series.
Tim Hay proven he founded it.
Oh, okay. The Koch brothers.
Proven.
Glenn Beck.
Proven.
Roger Stone.
He's in the Nexus. He hasn't been proven, okay. But he's in the Nexus, yes.
Okay, and then I think the Rockefellers and Steve Bannon.
They helped fund the CMP, the Rockefeller family. The Kochs did too as well. Also, Sung Mo Moon from the Unification Church also helped fund. And he actually bailed out Jerry Falwell, CMP member, Liberty University. Liberty University almost went under. And Falwell took Moon money to keep it from going under. And Sung Mung Moon is a heretic. The man said that Jesus Christ felt his mission on the cross and that he was the one that would fulfill it. Okay.
Wow.
And so, I mean, Bannon is a Council for National Policy member. So is Michael Flynn.
Wow. Okay. All right. Because I've been very critical of Steve Bannon over the years after I read Professor Ben Teitelbaum's book, who I think... I think he was, I'm sure you're familiar with it because he was on Billy Ray's show too. Anyway, we don't need to.
I was the one to suggest to Billy to interview Teitelbaum.
Oh, yeah. Oh, funny. Yeah. It's a weird connection there. And I'm too, you know, like when I hear your research, you remind me of a sort of blend of Jay Dyer mixed with William Ramsey. And sometimes you guys are too smart for me and I'm too uneducated on a lot of these topics, but. That takes me into this there. I just know that there's this weird conservative, I don't know if stranglehold's the right term, but this weird sort of truther pipeline to conservative sort of angle. And I'm reading a book by David McGowan, the guy who wrote Weird Scenes Inside the Laurel Canyon. He wrote a book called Understanding the F Word, and it's about fascism. And it's about, so far, I'm about halfway into it. The idea he's presenting, and of course he's passed away. So, but the idea he presented was that in America, in American politics, we have this false dual system of left and right. And if you examine the definition of fascism, we're actually already there. We're actually already in a fascist sort of state. And my whole angle, because I finally found the term to describe my sort of political leaning, and I'm anti-authoritarian. I don't want the left or the right to tell me or anyone how to live our lives as long as we're being peaceful and, you know, whatever. I don't know. I'm not libertarian in the sense that I think taxes are a crime. I get that we need taxes. We need police. I get that we need a military. Like, we need those things. But I'm also very cautious about putting too much energy into an authoritarian, you know, Christian nationalist government, because there's all these problems with that sort of thing. And that's where I'm trying to dance on this thing of understanding these things like Steve Bannon's traditionalism leanings and the ideas of what you're talking about. So that's why I wanted to have you on here, because I truly am trying to learn more about it. And I think this Sound of Freedom movie that dropped, and we don't need to go in there quite yet, but that was the catalyst where I'm like, okay, this is kind of getting wild. Like, this has all become this weird litmus test and everyone's arguing, and it feels like, and this is where the next question I want to talk to you about, because you said you practice some form of Gnosticism. Do you think you could clarify more about this idea of duality of light workers and dark workers? Because you, if I understand your idea about the Sound of Freedom and all this, is you were talking about, and there's a few ideas in here, like the externalization of the hierarchy, which is an Alice Bailey concept, which I don't understand. I actually, funny enough, I bought Alice Bailey's book in 2000. I bought one of her books because I had read that Tupac was reading this book. And I don't know why, I just was driven to, I was like, oh, cool, let me buy this book. And I bought it, and I can't understand a word in the thing. But could you talk to me about duality and maybe the Gnostic concept of spiritually, what that means, and how you see it manifesting in this weird sort of battle that we're all going under right now?
Yeah. I most truthers kind of get into this paradigm where they believe that there's earthly heroes, that there's a good side that's going to come in and save us from this wicked and evil satanic side, right?
Okay.
And of course, the Bible states, you know, cursed is the man who puts his trust in man, right? And so as most truthers are, I was very much bought into that type of belief system. I would say all New Age thought, New Age beliefs, whether it's theosophy or Christian Gnosticism, it doesn't matter, is very subjective in nature. And, you know, as a born again Christian now, I do believe that, you know, God and Jesus are objective reality that make up, you know, objectively, what we experience. And I used to have kind of like that belief that I was a light worker and that I was trying to expose all these things, that I was, you know, that was what I was doing through my research, right? I wasn't pointing anybody to the truth of God. You know, it's contained in the Holy Bible. You know, I was pointing people to go further down the rabbit hole, or even pointing them to subjective New Age beliefs, right? And I thought that I was different than the elite. You know, I would read their writings. I would read Pike, or I would read Barbara Marx Hubbard, or I would read Alice Bailey. And, I would read kind of like the theosophical writings on like the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ and the Nag Hammadi Library texts. And I was, you know, reading all of this, and I was picking and choosing. I was, you know, taking, you know, I'll take this and I'll take this and I'll put this together. And I was trying to make my own cosmology. And it led me, you know, once I became born again, which is around 2019, I started realizing, I was like, wait a minute. I thought I was different. And most New Age people, most of them, think they're different too. Like, they'll read the writings of Barbara Marx Hubbard, and they might glance the part where she's talking about killing 1/4 of humanity that don't choose to ascend, okay? And that part they might kind of like gloss over and not really think about. But the rest of the stuff, when she's talking about love and light and being peaceful and everything like that, that's mostly what they'll glom onto, right? And so they'll take all the bad things that she has said, just like Alice Bailey, and kind of cast them off and be like, well, I don't like that, but I'll go with, you know, they just seem like they're good people. And so that ends up getting you in this trap, because we know in the Bible it says, within God there is no darkness, there is only light. So we know that it's kind of like the Masonic duality, the black and white checkerboard, okay? So you have the dark going against the light. We see that phrasing being used a lot in QAnon operation quite frequently, dark to light, right? And so it gets you into this kind of dualistic trap where you're like, I'm a good person. There's so much evil in government. I'm going to expose it. And, you know, but I'm going to ally myself with these other light workers, whether it's Barbara Marx Hubbard or Alice Bailey or Michael Flynn or, you know, whomever, who are theosophists. And, you know, they're going against the dark evil, so they have to be good, right? And so it gets you trapped in this duality, which the Bible says we're supposed to separate ourselves from, okay? Because, you know, though we live in this world, you know, we're not citizens of this world. We're citizens of heaven, okay? So that's also how they can get some well-meaning Christians and non-Christians to be bought into the Christian nationalism lie too, right, of building Christ's kingdom down here on earth, where the Bible states that Jesus Christ treads the winepress alone. You know, God doesn't need us you know, to force some sort of Christendom worldwide. Okay, that's bad theology, in my opinion. Okay, and then the Christian nationalists, I'm going on a little tangent separate from that, though. They reference anybody who just believes that we live by the laws of Jesus Christ, the two commandments that he gave us, and the Great Commission of going, making disciples and spreading the gospel. We're weak Christians. And a lot of them are like, okay, well, you're not with us for this second great Christendom or the second American Revolution. So if you're not with us, you're against us. Okay. And so how that plays into the externalization of the hierarchy is Alice Bailey wrote by 2025 that this New World Order will finally be able to come into fruition and will be externalized to the masses, where the Old World Order, which is kind of like the totalitarianism that we see now, many, you know, people will say it's, you know, the current world order is a Zionist world order or a Jesuit world order or a Masonic world order. I think they all have vested seats at the table and they all are allied with Satan. But, you know, the New World Order is going to be kind of like this one world universalist religion, right? That Alice Bailey wrote about extensively in Externalization of the Hierarchy. Even in Externalization of the Hierarchy, she talks about how they have to infiltrate the churches. They have to infiltrate the churches with theosophists to get this to be able to occur. She's automatically rewriting this, maybe channeling from demons, likely in the late 1930s, early 40s. Okay. And so that's what we see going on today with the Great Reset versus the Great Awakening. You have the dark side versus the light side, right? You have, you know, the black chessboard pieces against the white chessboard pieces, right? And so people get into a trap because they're like, okay, this is evil. This is obviously satanic. The Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg Group, the World Economic Forum, that's evil. But I'm going to yoke myself up with the alternative over here, which is being steered by the Council for National Policy and their Bilderberg Group, La Cercle, and probably other groups and people as well. I'm going to ally myself with Donald Trump. Donald Trump's a horrible human being. I mean, I could go on for a long time. I mean, he's vast connections to Jeffrey Epstein, just as much as Clinton's and RFK Jr. Okay. And so, like, you know, Trump's in on it. Now, whether or not Trump's the Antichrist or not, I can't answer to that. I think it might be a possibility, but we'll see. Okay. If we are living in the end times or not, maybe we are, maybe we're not. It seems like times are accelerating. We're going to find out maybe in the next few decades. I don't know.
Unfortunately.
But it's kind of funneling people into having to choose, right? And the Bible says that Lucifer can appear as an angel of light, right? And so, you know, all these people that are part of the CMP secret right nexus or whatever you want to call it, a lot of them are on this quote unquote light side. And, you know, Alice Bailey says it's going to come to fruition. Now, whether or not she's right, in 2025, and you'll have some people like David Icke who channeled the same theosophical demon Rikorsky. Okay. Some people in the conspiracy movement, they think the externalization of hierarchy is they have to do these things because it clears them of some sort of karma, which isn't biblical at all. Bailey's writing about the externalization of hierarchy. She's, and Barbara Marx Hubbard is too later on, many years later. All the theosophists are not saying that's what the externalization of the hierarchy is, which most people in conspiracy movement and thought think it is. It's one time it's what I thought it was. Okay. It's not that. It's what they call the external, you know, they've initiated the masses, okay, you know, to choose a side, to choose the quote unquote light side, okay. And in doing so, that initiation, you know, the grand mysteries will be revealed to all through what they have labeled and what they call the plan. They call it the plan. And so with QAnon, what do you have as well too? The plan.
Oh, wow. Okay. Let me pause for a second, because I want to recap what you're saying, because I think this is very powerful. Because for the last 3 years, because in 2020, I did several shows about how I thought QAnon had all these problems and I don't like Trump and all those things. And I got this unprecedented amount of hate for doing that. And every now and then I'll sort of dip my toe in that pool and I get it chopped off immediately. And I'm always so confused by it, because I'm over here. I'm like, dude, I'm on your team. I'm the conspiracy guy. I'm a Christian. albeit a bad Christian, albeit a very sort of social liberal leaning guy, but I'm still on the same team. Why are you condemning me when I try to point out that these leaders you're trying to put in place aren't the people you want to lead this sort of thing? And if I'm hearing you correctly, are you saying that people like Alice Bailey were suggesting that to create this new world order, which we all sort of agree is some kind of Luciferian plan that we don't want to do, maybe Alice Bailey was she saying that to do that, they need to infiltrate the church and sort of hijack it? And
yes.
Oh,
and
wow.
all the institutions. It's what Fabian socialism is. So they hijack all the institutions. And they sent theosophists in there, which is why we have the rise of really bad doctrine in Christian churches like Name It and Claim It and the New Apostolic Reformation and the rise of Christendom again. And like all, you know, like prosperity gospel, you know, like all of the, even you could even say the emerging church or the liberalism of the church too as well. So all of those tie back to theosophy, and Alice Bailey through the externalization of the hierarchy, she wrote about that, said this happened. And there's a good YouTube channel called The Christian Marauder, and he talks about this a lot, you know, and I'm reading the externalization of the hierarchy, and she's saying it, and Barbara Marx Hubbard is saying it. I mean, they're saying this stuff. That they would to bring about this Luciferian world order, which I believe the Bible talks about it as the beast system or the Antichrist system. Okay, transition from the harlot to the beast. Now, I know a lot of people have harlot could either be Jerusalem, Rome, or America, even though the America being the harlot is pushed a lot by Tim LaHaye and Left Behind in the CMPers. They push that the Antichrist might be Muslim, and they push that the harlot is the United States of America. I don't think that's true. I think it's the least likely candidate. I think the most likely candidate for the harlot in Revelation is likely Jerusalem, might be Rome. But that being said, though, they're kind of, you know, they've been pushing, like you see with Tim LaHaye with Left Behind, right? So they push both sides. They push dispensationalist pre-tribulation rapture so that people aren't really going out there and preaching the gospel and doing good works as they should as Christians, right? But they're also got them trapped in post-millennialism, which is yoking itself with the New Apostolic Reformation and Seven Mountains Dominionism, that Jesus Christ's millennial kingdom has already came, and therefore we have to Christianize the whole world to hand it over to Jesus when he finally comes back at the end of recorded time to defeat Satan, okay? So they got Christians going every which way at this point. And if you read a theosophist, they pretty much discuss, yeah, we're going to do this. And if you read your Bible, it pretty much says this is going to happen, that God's going to give them a grand delusion. There's going to be another translation for it, a great rebellion, and so, you know, God right now, it looks appears, if we are living in the end times, and I'm not saying for sure, I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, There's a shifting. There's like a sifting of the, you know, separating from the wheat from the tares of true born again Christians from ones who sadly and tragically don't love the Lord. And there are really, I mean, I do believe it is likely that a Christian nationalist nation will pop up here in America in the next 10 to 20 years. Trump probably will be president again. He probably will lead it. And it's going to be something that, I don't want to be a part of. I know you don't want to be a part of, Isaac, and they will kill us because of it.
Wow. Okay. Man, that's hardcore. Okay, I'm watching the time.
Through their own words, by the way. Through their own words.
So. Yeah, I'm not surprised that this is something they would want. Okay. I mean, man, I wish we had 5 hours. Okay, let's move on to the big topic that's trending right now. And I know I'm asking you to do this in a relatively short amount of time. Can you talk to us about the Sound of Freedom / Operation Underground Railroad / Tim Ballard? And tell us, you know, should the listeners go watch this movie? What do you think? What are these people up to? Is there a conspiracy here?
Yes. Now, I think if I remember correctly, I haven't gone back and listened to the episode, but I think it was either the second episode I was on with Greg Carlwood back when I was a Gnostic, I think 2018, maybe sometime during 2017, because there's two episodes I was on the Higher Side Chats with. I discussed NCMEC and my issues with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, my issues with the International Center with Missing and Exploited Children. They literally were platformed and pushed Hillary Clinton, for example, with NCMEC. And I briefly mentioned, if I remember correctly, Operation Underground Railroad during that podcast. So they've been on my radar for a long time. And I have been researching them and seeing them off and on, because I didn't trust them because Glenn Beck was very much involved with Operation Underground Railroad. And when I was doing my CMP research, Glenn Beck would come up quite frequently. Okay. And so would the LDS Church too, as well, would come up quite frequently with their connections to, what's his name? The Skousen family. W. Cleon Skousen was a John Birch Society member and a founding member of the Council for National Policy. Joel Skousen and Mark Skousen were both CMP members. So there's a lot of powerful Mormons within the Council for National Policy. Mitt Romney, for example, CMP member. And so because of that, I would always pay attention to, Mormons. And, Mormons are very strong Zionists. They push Zionism a lot too, as well. And of course, as a born again Christian, I believe Mormonism is a false religion. It's a false doctrine. The Bible talks about not giving credence to revelations given by angels, like Joseph Smith, for example, and the golden tablets of Moroni, and the angel that visited him. I always have been paying attention to Operation Underground Railroad for many years. And so when I knew the Sound of Freedom movie was finally coming out, I really need to dig into this. Like, I know some stuff and the sketchy connections and everything, but I really need to dig in it. So I started digging into it. And there's too much to cover. Like, I still need to do like another 2 to 5 hours covering it. Okay?
Yeah. And guys, listeners, I'm going to put a link in the show notes. He's got multiple resources on this. He's got I think it was a 2 or 3 hour video on Odyssey that I watched. It just was unbelievable. I took all these notes on it and I just thought, my goodness, there's so much on here to talk about. But if you want more on the Sound of Freedom, I'm going to put links in the show notes, and John, you can plug your channels, but you've got lots out there already.
Yeah, I will at the end, okay. If that's okay. So Tim Ballard was born into the LDS Church. He was born in Provo, Utah. He graduated from Brigham Young University. He worked for the CIA for a year after he graduated from the Monterey Institute of International Studies in Monterey, California, with a Master of Arts in International Politics in 2001. So he worked for the CIA for about a year and then went on to work for the Department of Homeland Security as a special agent and undercover operator until 2013, which in December 2013, Ballard funded Operation Underground Railroad. So Operation Underground Railroad is a 501c3. Their yearly income, which they published through reports, to the United States Internal Revenue Service, the 2014, they made around $3 million of income. Okay. And as of 2021, they made $39,658,518 in income. Okay. And Tim Ballard has taken compensation roughly about $100,000 a year up to about 2021, where he took $335,000 a year. And in 2022, took $521,000 a year. His wife also works, and he has a child who also works for Operation Underground Railroad as well. And they take salaries from Operation Underground Railroad. Now, there's an excellent researcher called Lynn Packard. He's done like a 30 YouTube series breaking out all his issues with Operation Underground Railroad. I share most of his issues with Operation Underground Railroad of, are they rescuing children? How accountable is this money? The allegations, allegedly, supposedly, of the people that they're using to go on to rescue these children, the agents that they're using with Operation Underground Railroad, having kind of allegations against them of sexual improprieties and wasting money and everything like that. And so that's concerning. So if anybody really wants to dig in, go watch Lynn Packard's like 30 YouTube, videos that he's done as investigative journalists exposing Operation Underground Railroad. Okay. So some of the funding for Operation Underground Railroad comes from Carlos Slim.
Who's that?
The billionaire, telecommunications billionaire who lives in Mexico, who has interesting, supposedly alleged connections to drug trafficking and nefarious businesses and everything like that. Okay. You have John Paul Jones DeJoria, American billionaire entrepreneur, best known as the co-founder of Paul Mitchell hair care products and the Patron Spirit companies. The famous New Age grifter and very much in line and being platformed boost by Oprah Winfrey. Of course, Oprah Winfrey also platformed John of God, right? Which is Tony Robbins, who is very good friends with Tim Ballard, has been funding Operation Underground Railroad for years and also funded as well too The Sound of Freedom. Glenn Beck, who funded Operation Underground Railroad for many years, and also Tim Ballard is on Glenn Beck's Nazarene Fund project, which they claim they're helping Christians in the Middle East who face persecution. I don't know how they're helping them. They claim they're helping them. It's like Operation Underground Railroad claims they're saving the children, right? But if you listen to Packard, all his YouTube videos, are they really?
I started watching the let me get the name of it there. You referenced a show called Mormon Stories Podcast. Mm-hmm. They released an episode back in 2020 where they were interviewing Lynn Packer. I'm halfway into it. It's like 4 hours, but they examine a lot of these. They were, you know, onto this way back then, starting to question a lot of these things. And we don't have time to get into it all, but there's a lot of allegations about maybe things aren't really on the up and up with this organization.
Very much so. And so we have Andrew McCubbins, who was a funder. He's a Mormon. He's also, I think, he's investigated. I think he was prosecuted for Medicare fraud, but they don't have his sentence. The government hasn't given him a sentencing yet. The last time I checked, one of the biggest connections I found was M. Russell Ballard, who's the grandson of former LDS President Joseph F. Smith and the great-grandson of Hiram Smith. Hiram Smith was Joseph Smith's older brother. Now, we do know that through books like The Godmakers that it's very much, I believe it's very much true that Mormonism is just a way of practicing Freemasonry with a Christian bent, hence the name Hiram Smith and Hiram Abiff, right?
Tim Ballard related to Joseph Smith? Is that what the...
No, it's a guy who funded Operation Railroad from the very beginning. His name's Russell Ballard, okay? But they are tight.
The same last name, though.
They are tight. I don't know if they're related. I have not been able to flesh that out yet. Packer didn't mention that they were, so I don't know. If they are, that would be even further. You need to stay far away from this movie and stay far away from Operation Underground Railroad, okay? M. Russell Ballard is an elder and prophet within the LDS Church. Russell Ballard told Tim Ballard to start the Operation Underground Railroad Foundation and that it's his calling from God. And Operation Underground Railroad is about bringing people to the covenant or bringing people to the false Mormon faith is what that means. Okay, so using Operation Grand Railroad and Tim Ballard as a form of proselytizing to the LDS Church. Okay, and then... Tim Ballard wrote a book called The American Covenant, which blends American history with false LDS history and prophecy, which is he was told to write by Ballard. Russell Ballard told Tim Ballard to write another copy without the LDS doctrine, make it more occult, make it more hidden, Isaac. Okay, which that book became The Covenant, One Nation Under God, America's Secret and Immutable Connection to Ancient Israel, which was later platformed to conservatives by Glenn Beck before Operation Underground Railroad was founded in 2012. And Beck agreed with the ideas that Ballard put forth within the book. Okay,
because Glenn Beck is also LDS, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay. And the LDS folks, I live in Utah, so I happen to know a little bit about LDS people. I'm not LDS. I'm Orthodox Christian. But the LDS, they have some kind of belief that thousands of years before Christ, there were groups of people that came from the Middle East to the Americas. And there's this whole alternative history. And Christ even came and sort of helped them establish things in America. And then hundreds of years later, Joseph Smith gets the angel Moroni to tell him where the golden plates are, and he reads these plates, then promptly destroys them so no one can ever read them again. saying that he's to establish the new correct religion and all Christian faiths are apostasies or apostate or whatever the term is there. So and anyone who's Christian should, and it's hard for me because I've got close friends that are LDS Mormons, and one of them is easily top five most greatest human beings I've ever met on this earth. So like, I hate to sort of throw this out there, but the LDS faith, they believe every other Christian faith is a heresy. So they're not your friends. They're not Christians in that sense. They may be nice people, maybe good people, good intentions, good fruits. I agree with some of that. But when you get down to the roots of their religion, they think your Christianity is a heresy.
And I would say that there's some Mormons that I believe that don't really understand the Book of Mormon or the teachings of the LDS Church. Yes. That probably do have their faith in Jesus Christ and are saved. Now, I don't think it's I think it's very small minority, and they should come out of the false LDS Church. But I mean, they believe stuff like Jesus and Lucifer are brothers. And I mean, I don't want to get into Mormon doctrine, but it's definitely another gospel for sure. Okay. Compared to what's in the Bible. But then again, there's even an interesting connection that Packer talked about, was that M. Russell Ballard hired a man he's known from years named Gordon Bowen to produce a false Mormon movie on Jesus's life. And the thing about Bowen, and that Mitt Romney and M. Russell Ballard have known this about Bowen, and there was a big break of satanic ritual crimes in the LDS Church this past year, right? And that information has a lot to do with this Bowen character, who, I mean, there are numerous allegations against him. In his own writings, he wrote some sort of play or maybe it was like a television script that had really inappropriate, like pedophilic, like language written into it that he claimed even in court. Well, I don't remember writing that. It's my handwriting, but I don't remember writing that. And so, you know, I mean, so, you know, it's just, you know, the connection of M. Russell Ballard and him being so high in the LDS Church and him pushing, you know, they're using Operation Underground Railroad for Mormon proselytizing should be concerning to any born again Christian right then and there. All right. And then the LDS Church, you know, even Lynn Packard asked this question, I don't have an answer and they won't comment. Are they funding Operation Underground Railroad? Because Tim Ballard doesn't mention that that the LDS Church has numerous allegations of human trafficking against it, and numerous allegations of pedophilia against it. I mean, I myself am a Baptist, but I'll say the Southern Baptist Convention does too as well, with the allegations against Council for National Policy long-term member Judge Paul Pressler. You know, so I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say there aren't allegations within. I mean, I know you would say there's allegations in the Orthodox Church. There's allegations within the Catholic Church. Right. You know, there institutionalized pedophilia exists. Through every religion and through school systems as well too. I mean, we have to be real about it and call it out. If it's in our if it's in our midst, we got to call it out.
I think to put a bow on this, I think that just goes to show that this false duality that they're trying to sort of pigeonhole people into, of saying, hey, you're either on the right team of, you know, the light workers of QAnon and the Sound of Freedom and all that stuff, or you're evil and you're condoning all this crazy stuff that happens to the kids, is the wrong way of looking at it, in the same way of saying, being blind to the fact that maybe your church has some bad apples in it too. That doesn't mean you throw away like with the Catholics, right? They've got a terrible history of this whole thing. And I'm not like, look, shut down the Catholic Church, but there's a lot of bad apples. They need to work that out and figure that out. But you can't just say, look, I'm on the right team, period, point blank, and everyone on my team is a great person. And you know, there's nuance to all this, what we're looking at here.
Yeah, very much so. And I guess to briefly finish, to get a few more things out there about why you shouldn't trust this movie, is Operation Underground Railroad partnered with the United Nations. Tim Ballard has addressed the United Nations twice, 2016, 2018. They still use their statistics to this day. Operation Underground Railroad was given special consultative status of the United Nations in 2018. They also supposedly assisted in Latin America when they supposedly allegedly rescued 10 women. The United Nations was involved in helping Operation Underground Railroad in that. And we know there's numerous allegations against UN peacekeepers and the United Nations against human trafficking and child trafficking and rape and molestation. And so that's sketch. Like, if you're fighting to save the children, why would you yoke with the United Nations of all organizations? Okay, there's human rights watch groups that regularly put out this information and call it the United Nations. It's not even conspiratorial, Isaac. You know, so I mean, that doesn't make any sense. And then Orrin Hatch and Mike Lee endorsed Operation Underground Railroad. Trump towards the late of his presidency, either 2019 or 2020, hosted a sexual trafficking conference that Orrin Hatch was a part of. Tim Ballard was representing Operation Underground Railroad. You can listen to an interview with him and Trump at that event. Ivanka Trump was pushing it a lot. And again, if Trump has vast connections to Jeffrey Epstein, the allegations of Katie Johnson are accurate, which I believe they are, that Trump's a pedophile and raped her with Jeffrey Epstein, then, I mean, come on, it's all for show. Trump's not fighting the pedophiles, okay? And so it's like, I mean, we didn't even get to the Afghanistan World Foundation connections that Ballard's on board member of with Henry Kissinger and all these, you know, Hollywood celebrities. And it's like, that's suspect. And then, you know, do you remember Craig Sawman Sawyer?
No. Uh-uh.
Okay, so he was really big, and I don't remember exactly what his group was, but it was very similar to Operation Underground Railroad. But he worked directly for security for Hillary Clinton before he, quote-unquote, went to save the kids. And Alex Jones actually donated, supposedly, allegedly, $100,000 to his organization. But him and Tim Ballard were also friends and allies, too, as well, because they both had organizations to save the children, right? But then there were, you know, again, with Sawman Sawyer, was he? What are these organizations fighting child trafficking and human trafficking? You know, I mean, I don't think the United Nations is. I certainly don't think Operation Underground. I don't think any of these organizations really truly are. You know, the larger that they are, I mean, I'm pretty sure there are a few out there that are doing their best to try to rescue or at least support victims of human trafficking, right? I'm pretty sure they do exist. Right. But these major groups, Polaris uses Palantir technology, for example, to their Foundry platform to analyze the database of human traffickers and missing people. Operation Underground Railroad allied itself with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which John Walsh's daughter, Megan Walsh, on Twitter has done a lot to expose NCMEC and her own father. Wow. You know, and then I guess the Sound of Freedom movie, I guess real quick, the funding came again from Carlos Slim. Timothy Ballard said that out of his own mouth in an interview. We know that Slim's son, Patrick Slim Domay, is executive producer of the movie. Tim Robbins funded it. I mean, Angel Studios.
Tony Robbins, yeah, right?
Yeah, so Angel Studios was founded by Mormons, the Harmon Brothers. It's funded by Peter Thiel's Giga Fund, okay? Like, none of this is, The Chosen, I talked about, you know, Jerry B. Jenkins, who wrote Left Behind. His son's Dallas Jenkins, you know? I mean, like, I don't watch The Chosen.
What's Dallas Jenkins' role?
He works for Angel Studios to put forth The Chosen.
Oh, okay.
The Chosen produces and platforms, Angel Studio platforms and produces The Chosen. And Angel Studios platform and produced Sound of Freedom, you know? And so you have Teal money. And then again, I was tracking down something I haven't clearly fleshed out yet. I'll leave you with one final thing. And I know I'm probably missing some things off the top of my head because there's just so much to go over.
There's a lot.
But there are clips of Tim Ballard, I believe, and I've heard them talking about using the various methods of like tracking kids, using tracking apps through phones, or, you know, chipping children, very similar to how we chip animals. And a lot of that technology would run through Palantir, right? And we know Peter Thiel is an extremely bad actor, you know? And so, like, that is very concerning to me, because I guess one, you know, one final thing on this is something I think you'd probably agree with me, Isaac, is most molestations occur within families, occur within neighborhoods or people that the victim sadly knows. Okay. And that's very tragic and horrific. Molestation is a grievous sin. Rape is a grievous sin. And so, you know, but the way you listen to Operation Underground Railroad and what they put out, they put it out like most of, you know, like your child is likely going to be snatched off the street and sold into human trafficking or institutionalized pedophilia. Does that happen? Yeah, it happened with Franklin Scandal and Johnny Gotch, for example. Okay, I understand that. It does occur. Okay. But even then, a lot of the Franklin Scandal children that were prostituted, that were molested, you know, they were street kids that were lured in and groomed by Lawrence E. King and by other handlers into, you know, being sadly trafficked for sex, you know? And so they try to use these scare tactics, and at the same time, they're not even discussing institutionalized pedophilia in the LDS church, for example, you know? And so to me, it seems disingenuous. Packer talked about that, you know? And look, I'm not saying that ritual satanic abuse and institutionalized elite pedophilia doesn't exist. It does. I've talked about it. I've written about it, okay? Mm-hmm. But we have to have discernment here. You know, not, you know, and it's sad because it is weaponized. Not every case is accurate. There's a lot of weaponization and false narratives that are injected in many of these cases. And we can't fall and believe, you know, every single instance of what exactly is sold to us. I'm going to do a stream about this in the future. The adrenochrome narrative, and I've been researching this for a very long time, and I should have done this stream a long time ago, but it requires so much work to get this done. I'm not saying that there isn't elite blood drinking and human sacrifice throughout history, okay? I mean, it's well documented that that occurs, okay? But the whole adrenochrome myth, where they you know, that they're killing kids that they birth in clone vats to produce this adrenochrome drug that gives the elite the fountain of youth or whatever. If you know the biochemistry of oxidized adrenaline, which is adrenochrome, and how adrenaline is processed by the body through the COMT enzyme, the catechol methyltransferase pathway, even in severe amounts of stress, very, very minute amounts of adrenochrome are produced by humans, especially an adult male like you and I, and even far less in a child. And the thing is the drug, what do you think oxidized adrenaline does to you? It doesn't give you these superhuman powers of the fountain of youth and excellent memory recall and like all of these things that they claim that it does. No, if you got high, it wouldn't be that strong of a trip. Even the alleged pedophile and snuff filmmaker Hunter S. Thompson in the allegations of the Franklin scandal wrote about that in Fear Loathing in Las Vegas and Fear Loathing in the Cam Train Trail, that when he took adrenochrome, it really didn't do anything to him. It would probably make you queasy and sick. And if you used it enough, because it's oxidized adrenaline, it would age you faster as an oxidizer and being harmful to your mitochondria, the powerhouse of the cell, causing oxidative stress, than it would being this fountain of youth. You know, and so the narrative got hijacked. It got hijacked somewhere. I was trying to trace it back in the Godlike Productions message board to see, you know, how long it had been. And if you look at adrenochrome initially in 2010, so before then, people were like, it's a drug the elite take and they do it in ritual purposes and they get it from the blood of children, but they don't give it this mysterious elixir of youth and these supernatural properties until many years later, around the time the QAnon operation pops off, right? Okay. And so then all of a sudden the narrative, it changes. So before, you know, people come at me and they say, you know, I've had exposing Operation Underground Railroad. I've had people come against me. Well, you're a pedophile, John, or you're this or you're that. I'm like, I've been exposed. I'm not a pedophile, for one. And second, I've been exposing this stuff for years, right. And as you know, they've weaponized, and I'm not saying that there isn't that the elite like Peter Thiel aren't putting money into stem cells from blood and taking blood from young people and putting it into their body through IVs, having, you know, blood boys and blood girls for longevity purposes. Right. That very much is occurring, but that is completely different than adrenochrome. My belief is that's to take away from that truth, to get it muddled in with the adrenochrome narrative. So that if you actually try to tell about the truth about the elites are trying to escape death, the judgment they're going to have to face by God by doing these things. Oh, that's just adrenochrome myth. You're just crazy. You're a QAnon person. Okay. Which we know it's not true, you know, that the elites are doing these things. And so it's to sadly pull people down the rabbit hole into new age, you know, conspiracy like beliefs. And at the same time, it's to weaponize legitimate researchers, that anytime we discuss these topics, Isaac, you know, people who believe in them instantly knee jerk and, you know, call us, you know, bad faith actors or whatever, if they believe in the adrenochrome narrative. And the people that are just your average people, and you're trying to tell them about Epstein, you're trying to tell them about McMartin, you're trying to tell them about the Finers, you're trying to tell them about Franklin scandal. Oh, you're just a QAnoner.
Can't win. What? Okay, so there's a lot more in this subject, right? And I need to get you back on, because if I'm not mistaken, I feel like you just debunked adrenochrome, which I could talk to you about an hour for a full hour on that. But I see the time and I gotta let you go, man. Before we share with the audience where they can get more, because I know they're gonna want more. I have a thing I do with every guest. I call it the 5 rapid fire questions, and these are very basic, fun responses.
I was already ready for this. Let's go.
Oh, you already know what we do here. Okay. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to explain nothing. I'm just going to ask you the question. You tell me the hot take. All right. You ready?
Okay. I'm ready to go.
All right. First one. Do you like Tom Hanks?
As an actor? He's a decent actor. Yes. But I don't think I'm a fan of him as a person, though.
Okay. Now, this one's going to be tricky for you. What was your red pill moment?
Again, it was when I 2008, when I listened to Alex Jones on Coast to Coast AM in December discuss 9/11 as an inside job.
What's one conspiracy you 100% believe in?
Ooh, the secret right and the hidden right, and they exist as part of the elite world order left right paradigm. It's one bird, two wings.
I like it. I'm with you on that one. I'm with you so far on that one. Next one. What's one conspiracy you do not believe in?
I don't believe in the Wayfair human trafficking conspiracy.
Okay. Then last one. How do you, this is a practical one for me and the audience. How do you unplug? How do you keep yourself from going black pill?
My faith in God. That's the only way, in my opinion. And because of that, you know, people ask me, you know, because I mean, the Bible talks about with my eschatology, as far as my eschatology, what I believe is the eschatology, but this isn't a separating issue of historical premillennialism, that the Bible preaches that the world is going to get worse before the end time. The love of many will run or grow cold. And so because of that, you know, people ask me, you know, well, John, you believe that there are no earthly heroes and nobody is coming to save us. No, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only savior, that is the only Messiah of the world, the Son of God, and that we should put our faith in him. And if you don't know him, you know, start by reading the New Testament. And I, again, it's my faith that grounds me because no matter what, I am saved by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so whatever happens to me in this life, again, you know, I don't fear man. I fear God. So, I mean, in the moment, if someone's beating me to death or torturing me, I don't think my flesh would like it very much. But I, you know, it's only but a short time, Isaac, you know, mm-hmm. So it's my faith, reading the Bible, praying. Yes, sometimes I am in the world, but not of the world. And sometimes I do enjoy watching pro wrestling or talking about it with Billy or watching anime. You know, there are things that I play video games, you know, sometimes with my kids, you know, I mean, those things are relaxing too as well, but ultimately it's my faith that gives me hope and keeps me grounded.
I love it, man. Great answers. Okay. Tell the audience where they can find you. And I mean, you've got a million resources. Tell them what you want to tell them, and I'll put links in the show notes.
You can find me on Twitter_WeaveRed. You can find me on Gorf Social _WeaveRed. My YouTube got taken down a while ago, but I am on Odyssey. We've read the documents. I have a Patreon and a Subscribestar, $5 a month. Same with my Substack, where I'm posting articles that I've written on my Substack too as well. And Billy Ray Valentine is launching a radio network, freeworld.fm, hopefully here soon in September, which I'm going to have a show on there. There is, Billy wanted me to mention too, and I hope you don't mind, Isaac, I don't think you would, we're throwing a conference called Free World NYC. It's on Eventbrite. Tickets are on Eventbrite. So September 9th, I'm going to be speaking there. Don Jeffries, Charlie Robinson, Richard Gage, Tony Adderburn, Wayne McCroy, Gar Goldsmith. So it definitely will be an excellent conference. I'm going to be doing my presentation on the externalization of the hierarchy. And so tickets are on sale on Eventbrite. Just search Free World NYC. And it's definitely been a pleasure to be here and talk with you, Isaac. I want to tell you that I actually listened to your books on Audible. It was around the same time I started realizing that Gnosticism was incorrect. So it was around late 2018 that I was listening to your books, and I want to thank you for that.
Thanks.
I guess one last thing I didn't mention too, you'll find this very interesting knowing your body of work, is Jim Caviezel's trainer, someone he's known for two decades, is Harvey Pasternak.
Yes. I heard you say that, and I had to fact check it, right? Because mm-hmm. I looked it up, and right on Harley's website, there it is, a picture of Jim Caviezel. And I posted it to Instagram as a sort of teaser to get people start thinking about the subject, because I knew we were going to do this. I posted that screenshot, and I circled the Harley Pasternak logo. I circled Jim Caviezel's bio, and I didn't put much on it. I tagged Kanye's post because she's been doing a lot of research into Kanye West, and she was talking a lot about Harley Pasternak. And wow, I mean, it blew up in the comment section. Half of them were mad at me. Half of them were thrilled about it. I mean, it's like I said, this is a hot topic, this whole Sound of Freedom. And it's just another iteration of this sort of QAnon. I mean, let me be careful the way I say this, because, you know, the mainstream media and Rolling Stone, they're out here saying, oh, Sound of Freedom is QAnon. And at first I was like, come on, man, it's a Saving the Kids movie. Like, can we just have a movie about it? But then the more I dug into it and I started listening to you, I thought, oh, brother, is this all a conspiracy more? And anyways, thank you for doing the show. And I'm going to put all those links in the show notes. And the people, if they want to learn more, they got to follow you. And I couldn't recommend your stuff enough. So thanks again. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Isaac. Y'all have a great day.
All right. If you made it through, congratulations. You are an open-minded individual. That was a very fascinating show. We're definitely going to get him back on here. I mean, I don't even know what to say. I'm speechless about the whole thing. And again, you know, you want to support Operation Underground Railroad, you want to go watch Sound of Freedom, like, whatever you want to do is fine by me. You know what I mean? As long as your heart's in the right place. I don't know if I'm going to go see it now. I don't know, because I don't want to sort of add to what could be a very strange situation. And you can dig into a lot of these. There's tons of stuff online. On YouTube, there's that, I mentioned the Mormon Stories podcast. They've got this 3.5 hour with Lynn Packer. And we didn't really go into it, but Lynn Packer is a very prominent Utah journalist and investigator. He's very much trusted.
And but you don't, you never know, right? You go back to that Bible verse, don't put your trust in man. I mean, which man do we put our trust in? So it's a very difficult subject. It's a very difficult decision. But more concerningly, I want to make sure we don't walk away from this more divisive. I don't want us to divide up into good and evil, because that's the problem. That's what he's saying. This externalization of the hierarchy, that's going to support this Luciferian New World Order if we sort of start turning on each other and not allowing ourselves to have different shades of gray of reality, of understanding the truth, of having different religions. You know, we picked on the LDS Mormons a bunch in there. And that, you know what? That's okay. Like we talked about, there's lots of great LDS Mormon people out there. That doesn't mean they're all evil or they're all occultists. Like he said, some of them have no idea about a lot of these occult topics. So, you know, we just got to be careful. We got to be open-minded with each other, be loving, be caring. And you got to be like Christ. That's the trick. If you want to take this from the Christian perspective, in fact, that Jeremiah chapter 17, and if you keep reading in verse 3, it says, "But blessed is the man who puts his trust in the Lord, for the Lord shall be his hope." That's what you got to do. You got to focus on the Lord and try to hope that he can give you the discernment to choose between good and evil. So, anyway, I hope you enjoyed that show. Very controversial. And for now, I got to go. I got to get a little palate cleanser. I'm going to go watch a little Twin Peaks, and we're going to keep jamming on this Twin Peaks Grey Lodge. I'll put all the links in the show notes for John if you want to hook up with him. I follow him. He drops some crazy findings. So be sure to check him out on all the socials. And until next time, stay woke.